You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. Today is 4/7/21. Well, markets, stock market, looks like it just wants to keep going up. And maybe that's as it should be. And that's as it's going to be with all the money printing going on. What about gold and silver? Have they hit their lows? Are they going higher from this point? What do you think? Well, why don't you send us an email to kl@carrielutz.com. That's my personal email. We answer all eventually. Right now, our good friend Eric Haddock is with us now from insidetracktrading.com. That's INSIIDE, tracktrading.com. Eric, welcome back. So the market just keeps wanting to go up and up and up.
Yeah, there's not much stopping it. And thanks for having me back, Carrie. I think that we're probably starting to live on borrowed time on an intermediate basis. And I'm looking for an intermediate peak around mid-April, and then perhaps a more significant peak in the middle of June of this year, between what happens between mid-April and early May should give some much clearer indication of my expectations of honing them for the mid-June period. But I think in the short term, there still is a little bit more upside to go. But one of the things that's been kind of interesting is the relative, I don't even want to use the term weakness, but on a relative basis of the tech stocks, although the last few days that hasn't been the case, but just the overall wave structure of the last couple months, the NASDAQ 100 has been giving some interesting yellow flags.
Yeah, so yellow flags that could easily turn to red, huh?
Yeah, and I think that what I'm kind of looking for, if nothing changes in the coming days and weeks, is for the NASDAQ 100 to spike to a little bit higher high than what it saw in mid-February. I mean, it still hasn't gotten back to its mid-February peak, while most other indexes quickly surge to a sequence of higher highs. But you often get, I mean, you get that kind of rotation all the time in the markets, but also at intermediate turning points, you sometimes get that with some divergence happening at a final peak. I often compare it to an old wooden roller coaster where different cars in that train of a roller coaster hit the peak at different times, but it's not until the last one peaks that you really have the opportunity for a more significant downside move. But I think that the NASDAQ 100 has been giving a couple of warning signs, and I do think it will head back up to new highs. When it sold off into early March, I described how if it held 12,200, then it should rally back to the highs before making a more significant peak. And there's a lot of upside targets and resistance zones coming into play a little bit above 14,000 in that index. So that's going to be an interesting one to watch, possibly one that gives some early warning signs once a peak is set.
All right. So this could be the peak, huh?
Well, like I said, I'm looking at mid-April on an intermediate basis. And then I think you could see a higher magnitude sequence of what I just described, that kind of divergence and whatnot, whereas this one would be more a multi-week basis in mid-April than something on a multi-month basis in mid-June. So this being a significant peak coming up, but I don't think a final peak for this move that began last March.
Ah, Interesting. So just when you think that things can't get any crazier and the market can't get any higher, it, as usual, is going to act to frustrate the majority's beliefs and expectations.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where, again, when you get a more significant peak, you get this type of back and forth divergence at the highs that accomplishes just what you're talking about, frustrating traders that are buying a breakout higher and the market only follows through a few days, then it has an intermediate correction. Then, you know, it shows some weakness at the bottom there and you get the sellers jumping on and all of a sudden it bottoms and turns back up. That often is the type of volatility and whipsawing that you see at pretty significant turning points. And there's some indicators I'm watching to kind of validate that scenario in the coming weeks.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's interesting there. So, hey, let's look at precious metals prices. What are you seeing on the horizon there?
I think that gold has set a very important bottom just recently. I was describing to my readers that 1670 to 1700 should be, it is 1 to 2 year support, and that should hold. And that as gold gets down into the 1670s, that's the ideal place to be re-entering longs. And it took two stabs into that range in March. And at the same time, you had a little divergence with silver dropping to lower lows on an intermediate basis at the end of March, while gold pulled back and held its previous low. That reaffirmed the buy signal that was getting triggered there in late March. And I'm still looking for a significant peak in metals in May of this year. I think that silver should set new highs for this rally from last year. And gold is yet to be determined whether that metal has the capacity to set new highs during that time frame. But there's one other significant cycle that I've been discussing that I'm going to be focused on, that I am focused on a little later this year in August, September. And there's a lot of different markets and even things like the XAU index, the gold silver index, pointing to that time frame for a more significant peak. So I think that you're starting to show signs of a bottom here on a 1 to 3 month basis. I'm looking for a decent rally here in the first half of April, and then a second rally following that after we get a little bit of a correction, and then late April into May, second move up. And like I said, the price expectations will be for the overall move will be more determined by the action of the next week or two. But I do think that gold has hit really critical support. The XAU index continues to hold this support right around 129 to 130 in the index. Originally, I thought that the correction in that index that began in August of last year, I thought that correction had the potential to break below 129, 130 and spike down to about 115. But market action has been showing me that was not the case. And it, as I made it clear to my readers, it had to close below 129 in order to project that additional spike low. But in either case, I was looking for a new run-up to begin in late March and take that index up to multi-year highs. And just the way that it set its low in early March was textbook from one of the indicators that I follow. And that indicator was showing support at 128.61 in March. And the index dropped down to 128.08 for a few hours and then rebounded from there. That is actually looking like it has some of the best upside potential over the coming months. And I'm going to be discussing some specific targets in in a forthcoming update, but I do think that the XAU index has the potential to easily exceed its August 2020 highs around 165 and continue higher from there.
Oh, wow. Interesting. So yeah, this is last time we talked, you made mention that you were expecting gold, silver to hit their highs in the first half of the year, probably for the year, and then kind of back off. You also mentioned something about interest rates doing the same.
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Today's show is brought to you by GR Silver Mining, ticker symbol TSX, GRSL, OTC, GRSLF, and their website at grsilvermining.com. The company is extremely well capitalized, currently has a resource of 40 million ounces of silver, and is looking to triple that number in just the next year alone. Its management team is first rate, headed up by Marcio Fonseca, a geologist with vast experience in mining operations and the financial sector as well. With all this going for it, and with silver trading over $25 the ounce, there's no telling how high GR Silver Mining will go. So go to grsilvermining.com to stay up to date on the latest developments and get on their notification list today.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
Yeah, I think that I'd take a step back from just this year and look at interest rates from a broader perspective. The bond market has adhered to just this very consistent four-year cycle, and within that, it often breaks down into two-year cycles and even one-year cycles, but the four-year was the most consistent, and it was projecting a major top in bonds, so a low in the corresponding interest rates, for mid-2020, exactly 4 years from when it peaked in mid-2016, which was exactly 4 years from when it previously peaked in mid-2012. And that peak in mid-2020, I thought would be a multi-year major peak in bonds and low in interest rates. And eventually, you should see a lower high, so a secondary high in bonds out in mid-2024. But that's, you know, for most traders, that's an eternity. So just put that on the back burner. But what I'd be looking for from that standpoint, that multi-year standpoint, is a 2 to 2.5 year decline from the mid-2020 peak in bonds. So interest rates edging up during that time frame, and then a rebound to a lower high into mid-2024. Now, bringing it back down to more practical, more usable time frame, I did think that mid-2021, I'm looking at July in particular, would be a secondary high on a different magnitude, since I use that term secondary high now in two different contexts. I want to clarify that. But so on a 6 to 12 month basis, I think that we'll see a secondary high in bonds in July of this year. And I was looking for the intervening low in bonds, which would be, you know, your high in interest rates from the rally they've seen over the last several months, that taking place in late March. So I do think that bonds are going to see a little bit of a rebound here in April, May, and June. Could be a very labored thing, but just kind of holding above the lows that they've recently set. It was very interesting to me too that the low they set in March was a perfect fulfillment of the cycle that spanned their last two critical lows back in 2018 and then 2019. A 64-week cycle, and exactly 64 weeks later, you just set the low on March 18th in bonds. So it's been a very symmetrical division of time between the lows that bonds have set. And that was another reason, along with some specific price indicators, why I thought and still think that an intermediate low is forming in bonds, and you're going to see a gradual move higher into July. I don't know if that means that sometime in May or June we'll start to, you know, some of the optimism, economic optimism might hit a little detour or something. There's different reasons, or perhaps this initial thrust down in bonds and up in long-term rates, maybe that's just a little bit overdone, and so the market needs to correct that a bit before getting ready for another move in that direction.
All right. Interesting. So an economic bump in the road might be coming, huh?
Possible. And again, I'm so focused on the technicals and cycles that I can speculate at what a corroborating fundamental might be. And usually that fundamental doesn't show up until halfway through a trend, which is why I much prefer to trade off of cycles and technicals, because they give you a lot of lead time in most moves. But whatever that fundamental is, I don't know exactly. Like I said, it could be as simple as just a recalibration of where current circumstances warrant bonds to be, and that they had gotten, you know, the outlook maybe had gotten a little too frothy in February and March. And now you see just a plateauing. Could be something as simple as that as well. I'm more focused on what price action is doing, and I don't want to get too committed to one fundamental expectation, because just when you do, the market throws a curveball. But as long as the price action is still validating what you're expecting, doesn't really matter what the fundamental turns out to be.
Right. Gotcha. Okay. So what about oil, petroleum prices? Where are we headed there?
Well, you know, that could actually be a part of this scenario we're talking about too, because ever since the energy sector bottomed in April of last year, my focus has been on April, May of 2021 for a peak to a bull market. And so it could be one of these things too, where some of your inflationary markets have gotten a little ahead of themselves. And if the energy complex does peak here in April, and maybe some other commodities as well, and you begin to pull back, that in itself could be something that gives a little relief to bonds and has them rebound if some of the inflationary scare is taken out of the market. But I do think that the oil markets are getting pretty close to a significant peak. Right now, unleaded gas had signaled a low a couple weeks ago and is projecting that it gets back up to its recent highs. It could be a little divergence with unleaded gas setting new highs and heating oil and or crude lagging and setting a double top or a lower high. Something like that would be an extra early warning signal of a top forming. But I do think that the energy markets are nearing a peak, and we'll see some consolidation below those highs in the coming months. And like I said, that may be something that lends a little bit of support to bonds.
All right. So kind of looks like it could be heading higher, and that would be a peak, and then backing down from there. Do I have that right?
Yes. That we may have in crude might have already seen the peak, but I do think it'll probably try to retest that. And that's just from, you know, a few weeks ago where it set that peak up around $66 or $67 a barrel, depending on which month you're looking at, since I follow the futures. But the chance of retesting that, but a top forming pretty close to there.
But a top nonetheless. So, all right. Any other markets you're following that we should be aware of here that could be important?
One other that certainly factors into that, and sometimes it's the leading and sometimes the lagging indicator, is the dollar. And I have been looking for the dollar from a 1 to 2 year standpoint, looking for it to set a final low in the second quarter of 2021, so where we've just entered. On a intermediate basis, just in the last week, it spiked above 93 and fulfilled some upside targets I had and generated a sell signal near there. So I think that on an intermediate basis, the top in the dollar is probably intact, and it will, over the next month or two, work its way back down towards the recent lows that were set a little earlier this year. But I think it has some pretty major support in the 88 to 89 range. And if it holds that support during the second quarter and begins to show signs of a bottom, that could have some pretty significant impact on all these markets looking out into the third quarter and fourth quarter of this year. Including gold. I mean, gold and the dollar have, since there hasn't been in the last 6 months, much of the safe haven premium going into gold for anything. It has adhered a little more closely to the inverse gold-dollar relationship that it'll adhere to that for a time, and then other factors will come in and throw that correlation for a loop and really confuse traders. But I think right now that's a little more accurate, and so that could certainly play into the analysis that I've described in precious metals, where if the dollar can see 1 or 2 months moving to the downside here, that would give that opening for precious metals to head up for that time frame. And then if we see at least an initial peak in metals in May and a bottom in the dollar at that time frame, that could start to kind of build a whole scenario for the next, really for the next 6 to 12 months from mid-2021 into mid-2022.
Wow. All right. Well, you've given us a lot to chew on, as always, Eric, and we appreciate it. I find it interesting that precious metals could be hitting that intermediate peak in mid-May. Your opinion, once it hits that peak, is that going to be there for the next? Will it be intermediate term peak, or how long will it last, I guess, is the question.
I'm leaning more towards intermediate now. Originally, when I was like a year out last year, and I was talking about a surge from March of 2020 into May of 2021, there was a good argument that could be a more significant peak. But as we've gotten closer to that time frame, there's just as strong of an argument starting to develop that at least some of the metals could stretch a final peak, a higher peak, into August or September of this year. But then after that, that would have the potential to be a much more significant top.
Uh-huh. So later next year, but could go significantly higher on that one too, huh?
Just until the third quarter of this year.
Yeah, right. All right. So we need to beware. Once it hits that top, do you see it doing a major decline or what?
That I'm really good. That's one of those things that you do need to see what the price action between now and then has done. You know, whether it's some sort of blow off top that has really accelerated to the upside, that would have one inclination on what follows, or whether it's something that has struggled to even set new highs. That is a major factor in determining what that ensuing action is likely to look like. So that's still yet to be determined.
All right. Well, okay. A lot to think about. A lot of things you need to consider. Again, go over to Eric's site, which is insidetracktrading.com. That's I-N-S IIDETrackTrading.com and find out more and subscribe to his services. Send us any questions you have for Eric. We will forward them off to him. My personal email address is kl@carrylutz.com. Make sure you sign up for our free newsletter at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Eric, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me back, Kerry.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.